You're listening to ESL Podcasts English Cafe, number 99. This is the English Cafe, episode 99. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff McQuillan. Coming to you from the Center for Educational Development in beautiful Los Angeles, California. Welcome to our 99th episode. The number 99 reminds me of a famous song that many Americans know called 99 Bottles of Beer on the Wall. We'll talk about that today. We're also going to do our Ask an American section where we will listen to a native speaker talking about a topic. Today's topic is losing weight, something many Americans need to do. Me too. And finally, we'll answer some of your questions. Let's get started. When I was a child growing up, sometimes in school we would take trips on a bus. Sometimes these were long trips, an hour, 2 hours, going to some event or visiting some place. One of the things that we used to do as children, and many American children do, is to sing a song so that the time goes by more quickly. To entertain yourself, you can sing a song. There's one song. It's a kind of counting song, I guess, that's called 99 Bottles of Beer, like what you would drink. Now, this is a strange song for children to sing, but we sang it, and many children do, on trips like this, or on long trips in a car with their parents. It's a very simple song. You start at 99, and you count down. You go backwards, 99, 98, 97. And the words to the song are very simple. 99 bottles of beer on the wall, meaning on a shelf, on a wall. 99 bottles of beer. Take one down and pass it around. To pass something around means to give it to other people. In this case, to share it with other people. So you take one down and pass it around. Now you have 98 bottles of beer. So the next part of the song is 98 bottles of beer on the wall, and so forth. The song, when sung, sounds like this, only better, since I can't sing very well. 99 bottles of beer on the wall, 99 bottles of beer. Take one down, pass it around. 98 bottles of beer on the wall, 98 bottles of beer on the wall, 98 bottles of beer. Take one down and pass it around. 97 bottles of beer on the wall. And so on and so on. I won't sing down to number one. Now, when you get to number one, the last line is kind of interesting. No more bottles of beer on the wall, no more bottles of beer. Go to the store and buy some more, 99 bottles of beer on the wall. You notice that the last line is no more bottles of beer on the wall. So you go to the store and buy some more, 99 bottles of beer on the wall, because you bought 99 new bottles. It's really kind of a drinking song, I guess, but it is something that children often sing. I know I did when I was a child. Maybe I was just a little different. I don't know. Today we're going to do another one of our Ask an American segments, where we listen to a native speaker talking at normal speed, and then I will go back and explain what they're saying. Today's topic is on being overweight, being what we may say too fat, though that's not a very nice way to talk about it. You don't want to say someone is fat. You want to say they're overweight, too much weight. It turns out that 66% of Americans, two-thirds of Americans, are overweight, and many of those are what we would call obese, O-B-E-S-E. To be obese means that you are really overweight. You are so overweight that you will start to have problems with your health. That is to be obese. We're going to listen to part of an interview on The Voice of America with a woman, a 59-year-old woman, who is trying to lose weight. And the story begins with this woman saying that she was 59 years old and she stepped on the scale one morning and she discovered how overweight she was. Let's listen to her. Again, she's going to speak fast, but we'll go back after and talk about what she said.
I was 59 and I was approaching my 60th birthday, and I stepped on the scale one morning and the numbers went up to 179, and then the scale broke, and I'm only 5'1". I'm a very short woman. And I said, that's it. You're going to make changes, and those changes are going to last you for the rest of your life.
Pretty fast, right? She talks very fast. Well, let's talk about what she said. She starts by saying, I was 59 and I was approaching my 60th birthday. To be approaching means to be coming close to. She says, I stepped on the scale, S-C-A-L-E. The scale is the little machine that tells you how much you weigh, how many pounds or how many kilos you weigh. So she says, I stepped on the scale one morning and the numbers went up to 179 pounds, and then the scale broke. It stopped working because she was so overweight. She then says, I'm only 5'1", 5'1". I'm a very short woman, and I said, that's it, meaning that's enough. This has gone too far. You're going to make changes, she says, and those changes are going to last you for the rest of your life. When we say something is going to last you as a verb, we mean it is going to continue. It is going to still be with you. So you're going to make changes that will continue for the rest of your life. Let's listen again now.
I was 59, and I was approaching my 60th birthday, and I stepped on the scale one morning, and the numbers went up to 179, and then the scale broke. And I'm only 5'1". I'm a very short woman. And I said, that's it. You're going to make changes, and those changes are going to last you for the rest of your life.
If you have tried to lose weight, you know how difficult it can be sometimes. Let's listen to this woman talk about how she lost weight. She's going to talk about how she cooks and how she started doing different things with her old recipes, the instructions about how to make a certain kind of dish, certain kind of food. Once again, listen, then we'll go back and explain.
I started experimenting because I do like to cook, and I took some of my old recipes that I really liked a lot, and just changed them a little bit and took out the calories. Let's say I make a cake. I just don't want all the calories, so I replaced the shortening with applesauce, and then I kept it not as sweet as before. But I also added a lot more fruits and vegetables to my diet.
Here's what she said. She said that she started experimenting because I do like to cook. Because is a short form of because, and in normal conversation, especially if you are talking as fast as this woman, sometimes we use the shorter form. She says that I took some of my old recipes, R-E-C-I-P-E-S, instructions about how to make and prepare certain kinds of food that I really like a lot, and just changed them a little bit. A little bit means a small amount. I made a small change. She says she took out the calories. To take out here means to remove, to get rid of, to eliminate. Calories, C-A-L-O-R-I-E-S, is a unit of measurement, we would call it, a way of measuring something. Food that has more calories will usually make you fatter than those that have less calories. So a pizza, a pepperoni pizza, for example, like the one I had for lunch, has more calories than a salad with just vegetables, assuming they're about the same size, of course. So calories is a way that we measure how much a food will affect you in some ways. Technically, it has a definition that is related to heat and burning energy, but we won't talk about that here. The way it's usually used has to do with how it will cause you to gain weight in this case. The woman continues, let's say I make a cake. That expression, let's say, means, for example, let's say I make a cake. I just don't want all of the calories. So I replace the shortening with applesauce. Shortening is a kind of fat that you use to make certain kinds of baked goods like cakes and cookies. Applesauce is the liquid that comes from an apple that's chopped up, that's cut up, and it's a thick sauce. The woman says that she replaces the shortening with applesauce, and then I kept it not as sweet as before. I kept it means I made it. I made sure in this case that it was not as sweet as before. But, she says at the end, I also added a lot more fruits and vegetables to my diet. Let's listen one more time.
I started experimenting because I do like to cook, and I took some of my old recipes that I really liked a lot and just changed them a little bit and took out the calories. Let's say I make a cake. I just don't want all the calories, so I replaced the shortening with applesauce, and then I kept it not as sweet as before. But I also added a lot more fruits and vegetables to my diet.
The woman later starts a group of people to help them lose weight, mostly senior citizens, what we usually call nowadays just seniors, who are people, depending on who you ask, over the age of 55 or 60 or 65, not 40. That's not a senior citizen. I'm not a senior citizen yet. She started a group of people to help them lose weight. In this last segment, she talks about how they used to communicate with each other so that it would help them lose weight. The name of the program that she mentions, the name of this group, was called the Meltdown Program. Meltdown is usually an accident at a nuclear power plant, but here I think it is being used to mean to become smaller. Let's listen.
We checked in with each other nearly every day. I kept track of our weight and submitted that to the Meltdown once a week. So they all had to report their weight losses to me once a week.
She says that we checked in with each other nearly every day. To check in with someone means to communicate with them, to call them, usually. She says, I kept track, T-R-A-C-K, of our weight. To keep track means to write it down or to somehow make sure that you know. She submitted that. She gave that to the Meltdown group. So they all had to report their weight losses to me once a week. Their weight losses is how many pounds they lost each week. This is a common way that some weight loss groups operate, where you write down everything you eat and then you have to give a report once a week. The idea is that this will motivate you to continue because other people are watching you as well. Let's listen one more time.
We checked in with each other nearly every day. I kept track of our weight and submitted that to the Meltdown once a week. So they all had to report their weight losses to me once a week.
If you have been listening to the ESL podcast and English Cafe for a long time, I hope that these Ask an American sections are becoming easier for you to understand as we listen to native speakers. Now let's answer a few of your questions. Our first question comes from Oliver in France. Oliver has been reading the Harry Potter books in English, and he came across or saw an expression that Harry uses in the sixth book. Harry says, "I am Dumbledore's man through and through." Dumbledore is the leader or the headmaster, we would call him, of Harry Potter's school. Hogwarts is its name, in case you are not a Harry Potter fan. Well, there are two expressions here. One is to be someone's man. When you say you are someone's man, you mean that you are loyal to that person. You will protect that person. You will be a good friend to that person. It is someone perhaps that is older than you or someone that you have a lot of respect for. It could also be your boss in some cases. You often hear this word in politics when someone is trying to get elected and you are someone who supports that person. For example, if I were to run for governor of California against Arnold Schwarzenegger, you could say, well, I'm Jeff McQuillan's man. I am supporting Jeff McQuillan. I'm not actually going to try to become governor. It might be fun. The other expression we have here is through and through. When someone says something through and through, we use this usually as a kind of adverb to mean completely or entirely. You could say, I'm a baseball fan through and through. I love baseball. I am a complete fan. I watch every game of the Dodgers. I do, too. The usage of through and through in the Harry Potter book, then, I'm Dumbledore's man through and through, means that I am completely or entirely committed and loyal to Dumbledore. Say that word 10 times fast. Dumbledore, Dumbledore. That's an expression we use when you have a word that is difficult to pronounce, that you mispronounce. We sometimes say that 10 times fast. Mean try to say that quickly and you will have problems. Through and through then means completely or entirely. You could say, I was walking home and it began to rain and now I'm wet. Through and through, completely, entirely. Fatima, or Fatima, F-A-T-I-M-A, from I'm not sure where, asks the meaning of the word doggone, D-O-G-G-O-N-E. This is an informal word, an old word, that usually means that the person is angry or upset, but they don't want to use a bad word. They don't want to use a swear word or a vulgar word. So they say doggone. You could also say darn, D-A-R-N. We use darn and doggone instead of saying the word damn, D-A-M-N, which is considered not a polite word to use in public. If you are waiting for a bus and it is late, or a subway train, you could say, where is that darn train? Or, where is that doggone train? Doggone, however, is very old-fashioned. It's not used very much anymore at all. Finally, Eric, E-R-I-C, from France also, says he was listening to a song by a country singer, Winona Judd, called Rock Bottom. And in the song, she uses the sentence, I have seen my share of hard times. What is the meaning of this expression, to see your share of something? To see your share of hard times, or to see your share of anything, means that I have experienced it many times. I have experienced it perhaps too many times. It's often a negative thing. For example, I have seen my share of students who don't do their homework. I have seen many of them. I have seen too many of them. I have seen, then, means I have experienced. My share means my part or my portion of something. So I have seen my share of hard times. Hard times would be difficult times, times that give you problems, situations that have caused you problems. The name of the song is called Rock Bottom. And there's another idiom, to hit, H-I-T, rock bottom. To hit rock bottom means to come to the worst possible situation. We sometimes use this word when we are talking about alcoholics, people who drink too much, and they have problems and more problems and more problems until finally they hit rock bottom. They're at the worst possible situation. And then they change and become better. Well, we hope. That's to hit rock bottom. If you are an ESL podcast fan through and through, you can email us and ask a question. We'll try to answer it on our cafe. Our email address is eslpod@eslpod.com. From Los Angeles, California, I'm Jeff McQuillan. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on The English Cafe.
ESL Podcast English Cafe is written and produced by Dr. Jeff McQuillan
and Dr. Lucy Say.
This podcast is copyright 2007 by the Center for Educational Development.